Today on Secio, the ACLJ fighting FBI's overreach and for the life of the unborn.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Secio. And now your host, Jordan Secio.
Hey, welcome to Secio, folks. We got a packed show for you today on the broadcast. As you may have heard the tease, we're going to talk to Jim Jordan, Congressman Jordan, about the FBI, the politicization, the targeting of American conservatives, the idea that they want to, how they're defining certain crimes to make it look as if there's this massive domestic violent right-wing extremism going on all over the country, when in fact they're all tied to one event. It was January 6th. And the people are spread out around the country who they are going after and prosecuting. But the way it looks on paper is that you're all these different violent extremists are all over the place, like behind every door you go. And so we're going to talk to Congressman Jim Jordan about that. Anti-Semitism on the rise, of course, you probably know on college campuses, but we're taking specific action in New York, specifically in the City University of New York. Jeff Balaban from the ACLJ team, who also oversees ACLJ Jerusalem, a good reminder. That I always like to remind you about where we have offices around the world, and he oversees our office in the heart of Jerusalem right there, but also works on the anti-Semitism in the United States. So Jeff will be joining us as well. Logan's here with me, and I wanted to talk about our podcast a little bit. This week we got into some deeper issues, so if people thought maybe they froze a couple weeks and saw this is funny, but does it ever get serious? It does.
It does. We talked about some of the new Supreme Court cases. We talked about what's going on in the Georgia election. We talked a lot. That was just on this week's episodes.
We're dropping a new one today.
And we have a new one coming out today. And we're going to obviously cover all that's happening, as well as it is a little fun to listen to. It's a good time.
Yes.
So make sure you are tuning in with the right spirit. It's a lot of fun. It's at SecioBrothers.com. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on YouTube, and on Rumble. Rumble being one of our biggest sources. And it's really been great. It's an exciting show. We actually had, just last week alone, had 100,000 downloads and views.
Thank you, guys.
So we are thrilled. That's a huge number for a podcast just launching. So thank you all for tuning in. Please tell your friends. And we hope you have come back, enjoy it. We do it 3 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday.
It's funnier. It's a different edge.
Absolutely.
Than this. I mean, we're very intense on this broadcast. I'd say it's a different edge. But what I would say is it ends up always like a little bit more lighthearted.
Yeah, even if it's issues that are tough.
And we're not on the same time clock, so we can be a little bit more extensive.
It's more casual, I think.
Yeah.
That's what we said. That's a good way to put it. I think it's more casual. The first 20 minutes of one of our more recent shows is pretty heavy, but it
we
does,
were able
like
to
you
talk
say.
Through it.
Yeah, we're able to get through it, talk about the real issues that are happening.
The show.
And one of the things I've said and you've said, which is we're just being honest on it, which I think is what a lot of people have responded. They really like the honesty that we're not a shilling for just one side or the other. We are saying, here's the real implications. We're talking about politics. We're talking about what it's really like inside. You've had the experience specifically even in Georgia politics. So yeah. We're talking about specifically how that all could play out. It's really interesting.
Yeah, that's where I cut my political teeth initially, was in a couple of races in Georgia. Which has changed demographically since I worked there, but also is still a lot of the same players. Yeah. Kemp was around. You know, those kind of people were around when I was coming up the politics at the lower statewide elected offices. And so this is even more of a packed show that we'll get back to. So we got Congressman Jordan, Jeff Balaban joining us. Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma will also be joining us on the VA hospitals. We talked about the life issue later in the broadcast, trying to turn those VA hospitals basically into abortion clinics. And the Biden administration is excited about this. They're not like hiding this. They are telling everybody about this. The problem is there's existing federal law that prohibits that. So we're going to talk to Senator Lankford about that. Jeff Surtees from our team is going to update us on a Kentucky State Supreme Court case on life as well. So we got, of course, the targeting of conservatives. We've got the issue involving anti-Semitism. We also have life issues to cover today on the broadcast. And Logan, I wanted to, just one last thing on the podcast. We're really encouraging people to sign up through like Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot of viewers, which we're very
visual people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It is what it is. People like to look at us. But we would love you to also subscribe as well on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. Sure, it's the audio feed that really helps get us in the rankings and gets really a bigger national. It gets without or within and expand beyond our bubble. So it really helps if you go and subscribe there. Write a review if you're on Apple Podcasts. That really helps too. 5-star review. We'd love it.
All right, folks, go to aclj.org as always to stay updated. We'll be right back on Secio.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
By a great friend of the American Center for Law and Justice, someone fighting for all of us in our nation in Washington, D.C., Congressman Jim Jordan, the ranking member of the House Judiciary Committee, who has been uncovering through whistleblowers coming to Congressman Jordan so much of this politicization of the FBI. And in a new letter to the FBI director, Congressman Jordan talks about how even when it comes to the January 6th arrest, they've politicized how they're reporting those arrests to make it look like, well, Congressman, I'll go right to you, to make it look like there's all this domestic violent extremism, DVE, going on all across the country, and instead of misleading people that these are all arrests stemming from a single event.
Right. They're trying to make it look like there's a extremist behind every door to satisfy this narrative of Joe Biden, where he called half the country fascist, half the country extremist. And understand the pattern here. We've had now over 14 FBI agents come to our office as whistleblowers. They come to us, I think, because they know they can trust us and they know how bad it is. And they're willing to come to us, even in the minority, just because it's so ridiculous what's going on there. It started first with whistleblowers coming forward last year in relation to the whole school boards issue. And then more recently, we had this whistleblower who come to us and said, look, they're cooking the books in a way that makes it look like there is domestic violence extremism everywhere. And they're so focused on this is the troubling aspect of this, too. And maybe the most troubling was they're so focused on this. They're pulling agents off of child trafficking cases to focus on this political narrative at the Justice Department.
You know, Jim, this is when I read that part of your letter, I was outraged. I mean, this idea, I'm going to read it for everybody. In addition, the whistleblower disclosed that the FBI is sacrificing its other important federal law enforcement duties to pursue January 6th investigations, which they have a huge team on. It's not like they can't do that. The whistleblower recalled being told that the sexual abuse material investigations were no longer an FBI priority. I mean, think about that for a moment, where sex trafficking is such a huge problem across the country at the border, but throughout the United States. Online pornography aimed at children, where children are utilized in those videos, is a huge problem. I argued a case at the Georgia Supreme Court a few years back where I was defending the state of Georgia's law on what they called predator situation, was basically these people that were grooming young kids and then ultimately meeting with them. They flew in a big First Amendment lawyer from Texas, supposedly, you know, then the state of Georgia asked me to do what I did at pro bono, and we won the case. But the point is, now the FBI is saying, oh, you know, we're so busy with these other cases, we can't continue to make child sexual abuse and trafficking a priority, Jim? That is really dangerous.
Yeah, well, and then couple it with what appears to have happened in Philadelphia with this homeschool family and this pastor, where they're focusing on those kind of issues, all to satisfy this political narrative. I said it this way: the first whistleblower that came to us a few weeks ago on this issue of DVE cases, domestic violence extremism cases, said that they were juicing the numbers. They were pressuring agents to categorize all cases as domestic violence extremism, and now we find out they're cooking the books. So juicing the numbers, cooking the books. All again to fit this political narrative, and as you point out, as this whistleblower told us, at the expense of protecting kids, that's wrong, and it's why if we get the majority, we're going to do everything we can to expose this and try to hold people accountable who are responsible for it.
Yeah, I mean, Congressman Jordan, one of the things that I see of all of this is that not only is the politics seeped in, but as you keep talking about diverting the resources away from the real. The bad actors. The reason why the FBI exists is to take on the worst of the worst, whether those are criminal actors inside the U.S. that are U.S.-based, whether they're foreign terrorists, whether they are foreign cartels. And, you know, with the fentanyl crisis, with all the drug crisis we're seeing hitting all of our communities, it does not matter where you are in the country because of what's happened at the border. Those drugs are everywhere. And when they start saying, well, we got to prioritize the arrest of, you know, January 6th or the pro-life protester outside of an abortion clinic instead of going after the really bad guys. And that's why they exist. And can we get them back on track?
Well, you know, I think it's even worse. And the other thing the whistleblower told us is that they're using the most extreme tactics when they go after these people for political reasons. When they go after the January 6th people, the tactics that this pastor in Philadelphia area has mentioned, that they're busting in the door, coming in guns drawn for a homeschool dad who was praying at an abortion clinic. So I think that is a big concern as well. I hope we can. You know, the good news is there's lots of these agents. I've never seen this, Jordan, where we've had now, like I said, over 14 come to us. Bunch of whistleblowers that went to Senator Grassley. They're coming to Congressman Comer on the Oversight Committee in the House. They're coming to Senator Johnson. And they're doing that because it's so egregious, so political now, that they just feel compelled. This is not the FBI they signed up for. And some of them have now come public. As you know, Dan Bongino had a whistleblower on his show, an agent on his show this past weekend, who talked about this whole area and how political things have gotten.
You know, of course, and I witnessed that, as did you, firsthand when we were in the middle of impeachment proceedings for the former president of the United States. It seems to me that the leadership of the FBI is entrenched. You know, we talk about the deep state. You don't have to dig too deep to find out who's controlling this. And of course, the question of the day is the direct array. You mentioned that homeschool dad who's, you know, in front of an abortion clinic. Somebody assaults his son, and he pushes the guy away. The police come. They could have been an assault charge on either side. They don't write either party up. The guy files a civil lawsuit. The lawsuit gets dismissed. Then what happens? 6 days after the lawsuit's dismissed, Congressman, the Department of Justice through the FBI sends 20 agents to his house. And you know what the FBI comes out and say? Because people were saying, oh, it wasn't a SWAT team. It was just 20 agents with weapons drawn. I mean, this tells you the abuse. But where is Chris Wray on the over 100 instances of violence by groups like Jane's Revenge on pro-life crisis pregnancy centers and pro-life groups?
All that violence happened just after the leaked the leak of the draft opinion. And they did squat, because we brought that up in hearings. When Chris Wray, when FBI agents went and had the wrong person in Alaska, they said she was at the January 6th event, and she was not there. She was not part of the riot, was not in the Capitol, whatever. They held her for 4 hours, interrogated her for 4 hours. They had the wrong person. Chris Wray didn't even know about it when he was in committee, when I asked him the question. So that's the part that I think is so frustrating to so many Americans. You're the darn director of the FBI, and you can't answer some questions about incidents like what happened in Alaska and this terrible thing that happened in the Philadelphia area this past week.
You know, Congressman Jordan, it's always great to have you on. And we want to continue to uncover all this information and keep getting those letters out. We keep covering on the broadcast. It's great to have you on, too. Again, I'm glad that those FBI whistleblowers are there. coming out of that institution. We, you know, it's one that we need in our country to be functioning. Congressman Jordan, as always, we appreciate having you on. Congressman Jordan is the ranking member of the Judiciary Committee, which soon could be chairman very soon. And I think, again, that could help correct a lot of these problems, Dad, because when you have the leadership of the committees in Congress, the power of the purse, who then are pressuring to say, you need to reprioritize.
Exactly right. And Jim Jordan's been a good friend of ours, and he would be an excellent chairman of the Judiciary Committee. Let's go ahead and take Jerry's phone call.
Hey, Jerry, calling from Rhode Island, online one. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Hey, Jerry.
Hello, team, and Representative Jordan, if you're still listening, thank you for the work you're doing. The cavalry's coming, hopefully, in November. Where's the inspector general when you got 14 guys coming forward as whistleblowers? Where's the inspector general?
Yeah, well, they could be. I mean, the inspector general could be commencing.
They take a very long
time. But those investigations, as you know, Jerry, because you know you listen to this broadcast, could take 2 years. So what you've got is, if there is a change, and there will be in November in the House of Representatives, and Jim Jordan is the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, you know what you do? You start having real hearings, and you subpoena these guys up, and you bring them before your committee. And then the ACLJ simultaneously issues Freedom of Information Act requests about how this came out. And they'll fight it, and then we go to court. And you know what? As Andy always says, it's finding a nugget in the dirt. You find it's needle in a haystack. But you know what? Every single case we've had, we've found that nugget. Every single time. There's something there you go, it's breathtaking. So that's how we're going to approach it, and our team's working on that now at the ACLJ. Hey, folks, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Senator Holly is demanding some things as well. Answers over that FBI raid of that homeschool dad. Want to hear from you on that one, 1-800-684-3110. What was your reaction when you heard that? 800-684-3110. Secular Brothers Podcast, day two today.
Yeah, we're doing another second episode of the week. Yep.
Yeah, so this is week three. I watched it yesterday. You could watch it, listen to it, download it, however you do it. Go to secularbrothers.com. That's secularbrothers.com to subscribe. Put a comment there, too, on the ratings. That really helps as well, secularbrothers.com. And support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. You know, you get this broadcast into your homes 5 days a week on radio, on TV, on all these social media platforms, a satellite radio, everywhere you could possibly get it, we're there. And we've got a big team behind us that puts all this together. We say there's six people in that glass room behind us right now working this program up. So your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. That's why we're able to file a brief at the Supreme Court of Kentucky today on the life issue. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be back with more, including your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. Your reaction to the FBI raiding a father's house.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
So you launch an anti-Zionism investigation at your university, and your choice is, well, who should we go to lead the investigation of what's happening, so we don't have this feeling where Jewish students on campus feel like they're being targeted or like the school is endorsing this kind of target. So who do they go to? Well, you go to Saleh Abdallah, a former employee of anti-Israel and an unindicted conspirator in an Islamic terror case, of course, CARE I'm talking about, the Council on American-Islamic Relations. And you go to Abdallah from CARE, who's now your diversity head at your school, and you say, Abdallah, will you investigate? You worked for CARE. Will you investigate and make sure these Jewish students are treated nicely?
So you would think this is Jeff Balaban, our senior counsel, is with us. You would think this is an episode from Larry David, right? To Curb Your Enthusiasm. Nobody would believe this. So to set the stage, and by the way, we're representing five faculty of CUNY universities.
Do you think they would let an Israeli investigate the Palestinian student groups?
No, because we don't let Israelis come on campus to give speeches. So of course not. Yeah. Jeff, we've got this, though. We are actually filed a Title VI litigation. We're laughing. It's not funny. It's serious. But what part is really unbelievable is they pick a person affiliated with CARE to do the investigation. You can't make this stuff up.
No, I mean, you're right. I'm glad you started the segment with laughter, because you laugh or you cry. This right. is insane. Yeah. But it is beyond belief. It is, use whatever example you want. You take somebody who literally was a member of the KKK to investigate complaints of racism. It's insanity. This is, CARE is an organization that the United States government has linked to being the part of Hamas's propaganda wing in America. Okay. And City University of New York, you would think they'd be a little more sophisticated than this. It's actually, this is part of the problem, Jay and Jordan. Is this intentional? I mean, are they actually trying to tell Jews you're no longer welcome at any of our campuses, because you could not create a more hostile situation for Jews on campus than to literally bring an operative, a former operative, by the way, from the Minnesota, we know what a hotbed of anti-Semitism Minnesota is, from the Minnesota CARE, and make them in charge of investigating anti-Semitism on campus.
So I'm holding in my hand right now a copy of the complaint that we filed with the Assistant Secretary for Civil Rights, U.S. Department of Education. And Jeff, I think it's important for our listeners to know, and our viewers to know, what exactly we're alleging in this. And we trace incidents back all the way to 2014.
That's right. You know, there have been a number of cases brought, or a number of complaints brought since, and we worked closely with the White House to change this so that Jews could be included in civil rights protections under Title VI, so that federal funds are on the line for institutions that promote anti-Semitism or tolerate anti-Semitism against students and faculty. And so we worked with that, and now we bring cases, we bring complaints, and one of them was the one that you just held up, Jay, which is against the whole system, the whole City University of New York system, which is many, many campuses and many colleges, because what we are alleging in that complaint, and it's online and people should look at it, it's almost unbelievable. Years and years of anti-Semitism across multiple campuses. It is a pervasive, system-wide situation that must be addressed at the top level. And as we see, the top level is making decisions that seem calculated to promote anti-Semitism rather than fight anti-Semitism.
But Jeff, I wish I could say these are isolated events. We've been representing professors for a year. There's a report now out of Berkeley, and we're all starting to see this, and I got it. I must have gotten seven copies of this sent to me last night. And at Berkeley, at the law school, nine different law student groups have begun the academic year by amending their bylaws to ensure that pro-Israel supporters of Zionism are not allowed to speak on campus. The dean of the law school, who is a progressive, no question about it, Dean Chemerinsky, but he is also a Zionist, said I would not be allowed to speak on my own law school campus because of the way that these students are reacting. And they're getting away with this as if it's, okay, now it's getting a lot of attention, so maybe it shuts it down. And California uniquely has a statute called UNRRA. That is their state civil rights statute. I have litigated that in California courts, and it's very broad protection and does not allow targeted racial or religious discrimination, among other things. So there are avenues here, but it's amazing that at Berkeley, free thought, open-mindedness, you know, the marketplace of ideas, if you're a Jew that's pro-Zionism, you're out.
That's right. And by the way, you don't have to be a card-carrying anything, because you know, there's a very famous Martin Luther King quote where somebody started talking about Zionism and he said, you know, stop that. When you're talking anti-Zionism, you're talking anti-Semitism. Let's be clear about this. There have been, over the centuries, over the millennia, all kinds of words that are used to mean Jew that aren't Jew. You know, they use the word, you know, in the Nazis used bankers and globalists, and there's all kinds of words. Now, in this generation, it's Zionist. But Zionist means Jew. That's all it really means. And so now Jews on campus are being told, your opinions aren't welcome here. Frankly, you're not welcome here. And so they're hiding their identities. By the way, you may not recall this. Maybe you do. During the election, one of President Biden's advisors, his most prominent Jewish advisor on Jewish affairs, he actually told observant Jews, like me, and I wear a yarmulke in public, told us maybe that we should stop wearing signs of our faith in public, signs that were outwardly that were Jewish. No, that's not the answer in this country. But every place that progressives dominate, in every cultural place, like campuses, that's what's happening.
What's interesting, too, it's not like the typical groups you'd think that would be banning these speakers. Like, this is not the Palestinian student group. I'll just go through the names. The Women of Berkeley Law. I mean, these are pretty broad. Asian Pacific American law students. Middle Eastern and North African law students. That one maybe gets a little closer to what you'd think of a group that would ban it. The Law Students of African Descent and the Queer Caucus. So again, they talk about all this inclusion and bring everybody in and don't discriminate against anyone. But at the most liberal city in the United States, the most liberal campus, college campus, I mean, known for it historically, and it's celebrated in a lot of ways for allowing this unbelievable amount of freedom of speech there, unless your speech happens to be in support, even as a progressive, like the dean of the law school says, a progressive Zionist gets banned. So all speech is okay. You can walk around naked on campus, which people do.
Right.
But don't say anything about Israel.
So I'm holding again in my hand a copy of the civil rights complaint we have filed. Jeff, what's the next move on this? Because people want to know what we expect here, and that is to get the Department of Education to commence an investigation.
Well, there is hopefully going to be mounting pressure in the City University of New York for them to look. I think they need to clean house at top. They desperately need to understand what's going on here, because they have ignored one of the professors we represent. There's already been a finding of anti-Semitism. They already looked at it, and there's been an official finding by the government of anti-Semitism against him. So he's asked for there to be some redress. They're simply refusing to communicate to him. They won't talk to him. And they're just making it worse by doing things like this. So, yeah, we are hoping that by bringing this complaint, there will actually be a cost to the City of New York to the tune of millions and millions of federal dollars.
All right, thanks,
Maybe
Jeff.
Then they'll listen.
We appreciate it. Listen, folks, we don't just talk about it. We take action. That's what we're doing. And we're looking at the situation now in California as well. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. And again, let everybody know how to get your podcast. Next one will be on
Monday.
Sekulobrothers.com,
SEKULOW. And we hit actually 100,000 unique viewers this week on the podcast.
Unreal.
So we're really excited about that. Sekulobrothers.com.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.